The portal is open, and Wisconsin might already have its first huge win. Colton Joseph is on campus right now, and a decision could come as early as today. This is Roster Roulette, and the stakes couldn't be higher. I'm Rajiv. He's Justin. Here we go.
Welcome to the Bucky Report, your destination for all things Wisconsin Badgers. Authentic takes.
Oh my God.
Game analysis.
Touchdown Badgers! Ring one up!
And discussion from the fan perspective.
Woohoo!
Thanks for joining us and on Wisconsin.
Happy New Year from the Bucky Report. We are your hosts, Rajiv and Justin, back together on a Saturday this time to talk about all things Wisconsin Badgers on today's show. With the transfer portal officially open, this is one of the most important stretches of the Wisconsin football offseason. Tonight, we're going through the full list of Badgers who are leaving Madison and, more importantly, shifting to the other side of the portal, Wisconsin's transfer targets, including players who are visiting campus or have visits lined up, and how realistic those additions are. And, of course, we'll spend time on the biggest name in the room right now, Colton Joseph. What kind of impact could he have on this roster, and is he truly good enough to lead Wisconsin football moving forward? It's a lot to unpack, and in the portal era, every move shapes the future. You can find our show on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what we're doing, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Appreciate all the support of the show. A couple quick notes up front. Sorry for the holiday break. I was traveling a lot, so we didn't have a show last weekend. I didn't do Rajiv's Corner last week, this week. So it's been a lot of holiday, kind of think of it a 2-week winter shutdown of the Bucky Report.
We took away everyone's escape for the...
There you go.
I have to deal with family for the next 2 weeks. Where are you guys? You're supposed to be saving me.
There was a lot of family. I thought about doing the show from Indiana. I didn't do it. But sorry for that. And we are doing on a Saturday today because I'm traveling in tomorrow, not going anywhere for a long time, just a day trip to San Diego tomorrow. So that's why we're doing the show today. Plus, of course, NFL is going to be hot and heavy tomorrow. Yes, I know the NFL is going on right now. Yes, I know if you're a Panthers or a Bucks fan, you're like, what the hell's going on? I'd rather watch the night game. So plus Purdue, Wisconsin is tipping off in a couple hours. So yeah, we're going to get the show out of the way because we're not talking basketball today. We're talking all about football. First of all, Justin, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. How was your new year? How was your holiday season?
Honestly, I had plans set up for New Year's and I was lame. I was chilling out, watching the football game. I had an option to go to my brother's. I had an option to go to a friend's place. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to chill out and watch football. I'm like, I'm kind of peopled out from all the holiday stuff. I'm like, nothing really big was going on. So I'm like, I'm going to take it easy. It ended up watching the Miami and Ohio State game.
Yeah, that game was crazy, by the way. Just absolutely nuts. Before we get into all the football stuff, which we're going to cover the entire show today, I want to just, we normally do a 3-and-out, but let's just talk about the playoff, Justin, because that's kind of what, like, the news right now in college would drive me absolutely crazy.
I was going to say, are you okay to talk about this?
Here's the thing. Okay, I want to be really clear on something. I love the Big Ten, and I love the fact that Alabama got their freaking teeth kicked in.
Oh, that was.
I just wish it wasn't by Indiana, because I don't like Indiana, and it pisses me off that Indiana's a team to do it. But that being said, two Big Ten teams in the Final Four. If you'd have told me two Big Ten teams were going to be in the Final Four and Ohio State wasn't one of them, I'd say you're on crack. I can't believe they lost that game. But I've said, Justin, all season, Miami with Carson Beck is an abs. I have a bet on them at +700 to win the national title, which I placed like 10 or 11 weeks ago. That team is really good. And I do think they're going to give Ole Miss some props. I think they go to the final. I think Oregon beats Indiana. That's wishful thinking on my part. But I'm happy that the Big Ten is performing well other than Ohio State. I mean, I love all the comments about, oh, Alabama's going to kick Indiana's ass and Indiana's going to get... Well, shut up. The SEC is garbage. They're dog shit. They're not as good anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. Go Big Ten.
I agree with you. And I said it last night to you guys. I'm like, we were watching the game, Georgia and Ole Miss, and I said to you guys, these are the two worst teams left in the playoff. Like, they lack the discipline of the other teams that are still remaining. They are flawed in ways that don't help them in some of the ways. Like the biggest teams that I look at, like Indiana is the most complete team in this.
They really are.
You have a number one quarterback, and that's people like don't seem to understand. They're really good on defense. Like right now, I would say they are like 2017 Wisconsin on defense. They're probably not quite as good as we were on against the run, and they're probably a little better against the pass. But they're that level of good on defense. And on offense, like, you have a quarterback, and I said this before, Mendoza reminds me more of Aaron Rodgers in his prime than any quarterback that I've seen come out. He really is good at throwing off platform and making plays, but mentally he is so locked in compared to the other guys that are out there. Like, he's just smarter than everybody else. And when you look at it, like, the guy's capable of making all these throws. He understands really well ball placement in terms of putting the ball and keeping it away from defenders. And just some of the ways that he understands things at the college level, he's just so advanced compared to everyone else. And you look at him compared to a guy like Beck, who's been there for 4 years, and you're like, Mendoza is clearly the better quarterback. Like, you could make the argument that Miami probably has a better overall roster. I don't think they're quite as disciplined as what Indiana is, but the quarterback position to me is the biggest differentiator here. I don't think there's a lot Miami can do to rattle him in the way they did Saiyan. And I felt like that was the biggest difference between him and Saiyan when they came into the Heisman stuff.
Listen, so Cignetti's amazing. Mendoza's amazing. You're right. You're absolutely right about everything Mendoza. You said about Mendoza there. I think Dante Moore is going to trip him up. I don't think Dante Moore is better than Mendoza. I just think Oregon and Dan Lanning is a really good coach too. And they got beat at home by 10 against Indiana. That on a neutral field is going to be a really exciting game. I'm really interested to watch that.
That's probably the national title game, in all honesty.
I think it's probably
a pick of Miami, Oregon on a neutral field. Yeah,
maybe. Maybe
they're rated the same. The betting stats on them are both plus 300.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the topic of the day here. Transfer portal day. News already broke. Carson Van Winter is the first transfer portal addition for the Badgers. News is expected to hopefully break soon on the second one. All I can say is that, you know, we've heard good things. We've heard a lot of good things. That's what I will say. I don't know any more than that. We've heard a lot of good things. And if any moment, like, believe me, I have a banner ready if it breaks during this show. I've got some in a banner to go across the bottom. Like, if Colton Joseph breaks, we're gonna talk about it on the show. But I hope it happens today. Maybe it's tomorrow, but we all kind of think it's gonna happen. So we'll see what happens there. Let's start though, Justin, with just quickly talking about the guys who left. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go through the guys that have left. We're gonna talk about some impact there. Then we're gonna talk about Colton Joseph. Talk about Carson Van Winter, who's the one guaranteed in already. And then we're going to go through the list of the guys who are visiting, the planned visits, the information that we've been able to gather on who's visiting. We're going to talk about those guys, talk about their impact, talk about what we like about them. So that's what's on tap for today. So stay tuned for a lot of good stuff talking about that. Let's start with the key offensive departure. So we've talked about some of these already. Billy Edwards, Dylan Jones, Cade Iacomelli. And then four wide receivers, Eugene Hilton, Tretch Kekahuna, KBJ and Joseph Griffin, and then Renfro on the line, Tucker Ashcraft at tight end. Now, this does not account for out of eligibility, right? Guys like Riley Malman and those crew, like, we're not talking about that right now. We're just talking about
strictly
actual transfers. What's the name on this that hit you the hardest?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. It's Hilton.
Eugene Hilton. That's right.
I don't think that he's an overwhelming loss in the sense that he can't be replaced, because obviously we haven't seen any like production from him, but I do think that he would have been a guy that would have been pushing starters next year. He would have been probably in the rotation. So it is a loss, because I think that there is a chance that the way I look at it with the portal, and this is where I get into arguments with people, the ceiling for most of these guys is depressed. Like, you can find somebody out of high school that can end up being really good. Those guys that are true number ones, that you look at it like, this guy could end up being a high draft pick, they're really uncommon to come in the portal. Like, a wide receiver that's going to be a top three round guy, you maybe get one of those guys, maybe two in the portal in a given cycle. Wisconsin's not going to be able to find those guys. So, like, a guy like Hilton, who his upside is maybe like a top three round pick, if it all hits, his ceiling is potentially higher. And that's where I look at this, where people kind of get a little lost in kind of the weeds with it a little bit. It's like, you can definitely find production. I think there's a ton of receivers that are good,
but you look at it and the odds of finding the ceiling on some of the guys is really hard, and it's going to be super competitive to try and get them. And that's where it gets difficult.
Yeah. Reporting has come out today that that Eugene Hilton's being pursued by a couple SEC schools.
LSU, no surprise. And Florida?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, listen, no surprise. Like, Eugene Hilton is a talent. We knew that. We knew that when he was in high school. We've been talking about Eugene Hilton for 2 years, and you know how we feel about him. So it's, I'm sad to see him go. Dylan Jones, obviously another one that I was sad to see on that list. But let me ask you this. What was your opinion of Tucker Ashcraft? Because I'll tell you mine first. I actually really was bummed about this one. Listen, Tucker Ashcraft wasn't a world beater, but I feel like he was improving, and with a better quarterback, I think Tucker Ashcraft really could have taken some big steps. Tight end is somewhat of a replaceable position. We're going to talk about some guys that are visiting for that position, but I was a little bummed by Tucker Ashcraft. I really thought he was going to stick around and hopefully take a step with this program. That one, other than the big two that killed, that one sucked.
I think that he could have been a solid starter, but I think that's replaceable. To me, he was a good solid inline tight end, which is something that the question I have is, do you think that he would have potentially have been passed heading into this coming season by Steck? Which I think is a valid question.
And Steck
has the physical upside that you look at and say, and he was a really advanced blocker coming out of high school. So there's a chance that he would have bypassed him. And if that's the case, I can understand. And maybe that's already partially happened. Maybe that's part of what drove this, is that they looked at it and he's like, they had the tough conversation saying, you're going to be fighting for that spot with Steck. Because I feel like whoever we're going to get in the portal is most likely going to be a receiving threat, like more of a pure receiver. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Steck is going to be the guy he's fighting with. And I think there's just more pedigree there.
Yeah, I like Steck. We both like Steck, and he's staying, which is fantastic news. On the other side of the ball, the key defensive, and I had to put special teams on here because Atticus Bertrams is on this list. Key defensive departures, the one that killed me the most here, Christian Allegro, my guy. Absolutely love him. Think it would have been really nice to have him with Posa and Catalano. That room, it took a hit. Also inside linebacker, Tackett Curtis, Preston Zachman, which we are going to talk about here in a minute. Antron Turner, Jameer Latimer, no surprise, his brother left his high and dry. He's gone. See you later. Ernest Willer, Angel Toombs, Remington Moss, and of course, Atticus Bertrams. Talk to me about some of these guys on this list here. What bothers you?
I mean, obviously, Allegro is the guy that we would have loved to have seen finish his career here. I feel like there's a ton of upside with a guy like that. Listen, it's completely reasonable for him to take a look at things and say, if I want to get the most snaps possible and potentially help my draft stock, I have to go someplace else.
For sure. I mean, Post and Catalano are the starters. We know this.
Yeah. I think they would have done the best they could to get him on the field as the third guy. I just don't see a possible way that you can look at that and say that there's not going to be teams that see that and say, hey, they're really, really good with those three guys on the field. We're going to spread them out so they can only play two.
Yeah. Preston Zachman was a real negative one for me. I've heard that it's money related. It might be better positioned for the playoffs, like wants to compete more next year and feels like he's somewhere else. I don't know that. That's just what I've heard. Some things, rumblings. I'm upset by that because I think Zachman was a real leader of this team.
I think he's an above average starter.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a plus safety. He had two picks in the first game. Like, he's just one of these guys that I'm like, I've liked him for years. I've been saying for a while that how much I like Preston Zachman, and to lose him. And if it's money related, Justin, that really bothers me. Like, maybe it's because of his injury, right? That they didn't want to pay him, but we don't know that. We're just, if it really is, like, and we paid Young. Young is going to stay here. I would have really liked to have ponied up a little bit for a guy that's been a multiple year starter for us in Zachman. And I'm really bummed about that one.
Well, he knows the scheme inside and out too. I mean, that's the other part. Like, you can get guys in the portal, but it's going to take them some time to get their legs under them. You have a guy like Zachman who's been in the system now for 3 years and has, like, he's no longer thinking on the field. It's all instincts. Like, he's out there playing. I know what I'm supposed to be doing on this given play. What am I seeing? So it's not stuck in his head. I need to be doing this post-snap and doing these things. It's just innate with him. And now he has that ability to kind of look at a play and say, what am I seeing that doesn't look right? And potentially that's where you see him jumping routes and doing things where he just has an understanding of kind of like, this is going to be this. And that kind of goes out the window. Now you got a guy who's going to probably take 3-4 games to figure out on the field, where do I need to be on a given play? How should I be doing this? You know, what's my communication with the guys around me and everything, just making sure everyone's in the same spot. That's going to take some time. Now, maybe you have some guys in-house that you feel really good about. It's possible, but we didn't see on the field much this last year, so it's really hard to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm worried about this room big time. Obviously, now we did get an addition today. We're going to talk about the new addition, Carson Van Dinter. But yeah, I think that Zachman is just such a – I put some comments up, program guy – He's the kind of guy that you want surrounding your program. I would have loved for him to end his career here, go into coaching, do something, like just stick around, be one of those guys. But it's too bad. It's unfortunate, but nonetheless. All right. So those are the guys that are out. There's a lot of starters on that list, by the way, Justin. Like, there's a lot of talent.
Red Mike 59 missing Howard on the list. Jamel Howard.
Did I not put Howard on the list? Yeah. I definitely left that off. Sorry. Yeah. That was totally my mistake.
Let's put that out there. That one's not a huge surprise, just to talk about it real quick. He almost jumped in the portal last year. So it's not a big shock that he finally decided to go. There's some names that they're chasing for that position. So I think that we feel pretty good about where they're attacking, and I'm not necessarily worried about it.
I mean, I am worried about it, the position in general, because, you know.
Yes. Jamel Howard, no.
Yeah, right. Agreed on Jamel Howard, no. But the position, like, we need to re-up. We are looking at guys. We're going to talk through those guys. But, yeah, it would be great to see that.
On this note, somebody that we were concerned with potentially going into the portal that has not as of right now, Xavier Okpono.
Yeah.
And the fact that he hasn't, to me, is an absolute, like, that's like getting an extra plus player in the portal. To me, because I think he will be able to provide some playing time this year. Like, he is just he's a brute. Like, he's a tree stump out there, and I think he's going to be ready to play this year.
Yeah. All right, let's start with the guy who's already in, Carson Van Dinter, safety out of Iowa State, 18 tackles last year, 3 years of eligibility. Justin, your thoughts on the Van Dinter addition?
Yeah, I think we knew that we had to target safety. Sounds like he's really a strong athletic candidate from the fact he's got plus speed at the safety position. As you told me before, guy's a thumper. Like, he'll go out there and hit. And he's got 3 years left, which is important to us to have somebody like we want to get some depth in that room that we know is going to be around for a little bit.
What I would say is his high school film didn't jump off the page dramatically at me, but I will say, like, the guy clearly tracks the ball well, got good instincts as a safety, good kind of, vision and, you know, ball control, just make, reading kind of the flight of the ball a little bit. That was a noticeable on his film, but he's a good tackler, really good tackler, and someone who can run downhill and bust up running plays behind the line, tackles for loss guy. But really here, it's a development piece and we need to develop, and that's fine. Like, we lost Remington Moss. We need to get guys we can develop at that position. We just talked about Zachman being gone. But the other thing is, I like that he's coming from Iowa State, right? He's been well coached. Matt Campbell ran a good program at Iowa State. Now he's gone. Like, and to get those Iowa State guys out of there makes sense. He's from Wisconsin, not kind of up by you around Lake Winnebago. So, like, he's a Badger as far as his high school and growing up. To leave Iowa State, to get him out of that good program and bring him here, I think it's ultimately a win for us.
Yeah, I think people need to look at this from the fact that he would still probably be at Iowa State if it wasn't for the fact that Campbell moved. And we probably wouldn't have him. I wonder how much of it for him was like, I don't want to go all the way out to the East Coast to play. And he's like, and Wisconsin was willing to offer. So, like, I'm not saying that he wouldn't have considered Penn State, but when Wisconsin is the home school offered, I'm sure it probably pulled a little bit more to him than say running out to Penn State. So I'm sure that helped us in this case, because I don't think he's a guy that's in the portal if there's not a coaching change there.
Yeah, agreed. Completely agree. And like you said, 3 years of eligibility, one of the, as far as all the guys that are looking at, we're looking at our visits, he's got one of the longest, you know, eligibility times left. Like, 3 years is a lot, a lot of development that could happen from him, which is good. The other big name to talk about today, the one we're going to spend some time on, of course, is Colton Joseph. Not official yet, but all indications are looking good. I've heard some things. It looks like I'm ready for it to be announced at any point. I'm hoping it is. And I said yesterday on a show with Ryan, you got to close this deal. And I think they did, but this is an absolute must. Colton Joseph, Old Dominion, 2,624 yards passing last year, 21 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 1,007 rushing yards, 13 rushing touchdowns, played Virginia Tech, had a great game, 16 of 22 in that game, played Indiana, played okay, but obviously Indiana is one of the best teams in the country. We know that. And really the guy is, the guy was on boards, right? If you look at the top ESPN did an article about, you know, 20 quarterbacks to watch, he's on that list of like the G5 breakouts, right? The guys that you're going to get out of the G5, because there's always going to be guys that come out of that. And he's really one of those guys. Is he at that Sorsby level or the Lagway, kind of those names that people are talking about? No, but he's good for us. He's good for us. I know.
Like Lagway and some of those guys, like I'll say this, of the guys that are in the portal, had the number five or number six QBR. I believe he's got the number five overall quarterback rating of the guys that were in the portal. The guys that were ahead of him, virtually all of them were like moving directly to another school. Like it was, yeah, guys like Sorsby, who it's either Tech or LSU. Mm-hmm. You have guys like Levitt, who's probably going to LSU if Sorsby takes Tech. You have Messemacher, who we knew was going to be going to
OK State.
Yeah. So it's like some of these guys hit the portal and they're not really in the portal. Like it's they either have a place that's predestined or they're following their coach. And that to me, I look at it and like there's guys in there that I've seen that are rated ahead of Joseph, like the kid from Kentucky who had a 15-12 interception or touchdown interception rate. It's like, how the hell is this guy ahead of Joseph? Like, there's no way that he is a better pickup. Like, you could say that we don't know what Joseph is at that level yet, but a 5-4 touchdown interception rate is horrific. Like, that's not something that you go into the portal being like, ooh, all right, this is going to be a good one. I think, to me, there are some things that I take away from this the more I dug into him. The average depth of target for him, he led the country in it. So he's throwing the ball further down the field than any other quarterback in the country on an attempt. And that is a big deal because people are really dinging him for the completion percentage under 60%. He's not going to throw that to that depth nearly as much at Wisconsin. It will still happen, but it's going to be far more, you know, drop dump offs to the running backs or to the tight ends. There's going to be a lot more mesh that we run here. There's going to be a lot that can be done in order to kind of naturally just bump up that completion percentage into the mid 60s. I do think there's some of the throws I look at with him on film. He tends to throw like that Russell Wilson moonball a little bit. And I don't necessarily love that. Like there's times I want to see him drive the ball down the field and put it where only his receiver can get it. And if it's a miss, it's a miss. Because I look at it and I'm like, some of these throws that may end up being a pick in the Big Ten. Because the guy tracking it behind him can come up and make a play on it. But overall, I do think he is a quarterback that provides, in our scheme, some skills that allow them to make the passing game easier than they could be. Because there's nobody other than Sorsby in this entire portal that I look at and say, that's a guy who I think can go out there and dissect a defense at a high level. And because of that, I look at it and say, well, if you can't do that, you have to have other abilities that allow you to put the defense into tough situations that open up some things that wouldn't normally be there. His mobility will absolutely cause problems for the defense in terms of having to make decisions of, are you going to give him a free 5 yards or a free 10 yards, or are you going to stick in coverage or come up on him and stop him? Because he can burn you. I would guess he's probably a 4.6 guy. And we've seen it. He can really run. I mean, he ran for 1,007 yards this last year. That's going to go down some, obviously, in the Big Ten. But he's still going to be one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, look, the passing is certainly a thing. Right? Let's be honest about it. If you watch his film, he's not – if you watch this show, you know that one of the guys after Joseph that I liked is Jaden Craig, because he throws the ball extremely well, and I wanted a guy that can throw the ball well. I recognize that Colton Joseph doesn't have the biggest arm, but his, as you said it very, you said everything really well. I'm not going to add too much to it. Like his weapon obviously is his mobility, and it's insane. Like 1,000 yards for any player in college football is a big deal, let alone a quarterback, right, who also threw for 2,600 yards. Mm-hmm. He was responsible for 34 touchdowns. 34 touchdowns. That's a lot. So you're getting a guy with experience. You're getting a guy that has 2 years of eligibility. Don't know this, but my guess is he's probably signing a two-year deal with us. My guess, which means we have him for a couple years, which is something that we wanted. So we're not going to go back into the portal again next year, which is nice to have. Yeah, like I like Colton Joseph. I think he brings a very unique skill set to our team. He fits with the Jeff Grimes offense. You mentioned the mesh stuff. I think the average depth of target stat is critical. I'm glad you texted me that yesterday because, yeah, like that's why his completion percentage is what it is. Now, not saying he's great. He's a great passer. But in this system, I think Jeff Grimes, given another year of a quarterback, can scheme guys open and allow him to utilize his legs to create more passing lanes, as you mentioned, and therefore increase that in completion percentage and be a guy that can move the ball down the field. This offense is calling out for someone who can actually make plays. The other thing I'll say about him, he's a gamer. You watch him on film, you watch the IU game, you watch
him. He's got swagger.
Dude is a gamer. The dude's got the intangibles, the leadership qualities that this team desperately needs. And we need someone who can stand at that position and actually be a guy. Like, you know, like the way, I'm not saying he's Baker Mayfield, but I don't like Baker Mayfield, but I like the way he owns everything about it. Yeah. He's just that gaming type. I want a guy who's going to stand in that huddle and say, hey, I got this. Let's go make a play. Mm-hmm. Like we obviously had a horrible record this year, but there were games we could have won. There are games we could have performed much better. And I just want our team to have a higher floor. He raises that floor dramatically.
As much flack as Billy Edwards took, we clearly would have been significantly better on offense if he was able to play regularly.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that that's a big part of it. Like Joseph, no matter what, the offense is going to be more coherent. Cause there's, we'll get into the list here shortly, but Joseph is a legit quarterback. And I do think like the way I look at this, there is some untapped physical potential there with him yet too. I do think the throwing, he's only a true sophomore. You've got 2 years in the strength conditioning program here where you can hopefully get him, you know, a little bit more velocity on the passing potentially and build him up body wise. And I think that you can get him like to me. And I've said this before, I don't look at him as an NFL guy. I do look at him as a very good college quarterback, which is fine. Wisconsin is not jumping for the playoff here. And if they make it great, that would be amazing. But I don't think you get a guy like Joseph and you look at this and saying, great, we're set for the playoff. Wisconsin's like, we need to get back to being good. And I think Joseph can get you to being good. And that's what you're really truly targeting with this portal, is we need to get the foundation back in place where we have a place to start from so that we can start chasing great.
What's your putting you on the spot here a little bit, what's your Badger comp for Colton Joseph, like looking back at the last, you know, 20-25 years?
Probably what's his name, the one from 2009. I can't think of his name right now. Or was it 2008?
Who you talking about? Phillips, Houston?
No. Ryan and I have talked about him numerous times. He's the one that used the footage for in draft day. Why can't I think of his name right now? Somebody will get it. Not Brooks Bollinger.
It's not, but Bollinger was well before that.
No. This is like, this is like 2008. He only started for 1 year. He's the one that had the diving. Tyler Donovan, yes.
Tyler Donovan.
That's who I would comp him to. I think he's a better thrower than Donovan was, because Donovan was kind of all over the place at times. But as a runner, I think mobility-wise, they're very similar. Donovan could really run too. And if you get that, the issue was, I mean, that team had more issues than just Tyler Donovan at that point in time. But I do think that he is legitimately a guy who – is going to really frustrate some defenses because of the fact that you're not going to want to play man against him. Because if you choose to do that and your defenders are turning their back on him,
he's going to run for contain,
he is going to grab 20 yards every time. And I don't think that he's incapable of being able to chew up a zone. Like, if as long as he doesn't take a lot of risks, just find the holes in the zone. And that's going to be, I think that's going to be a big factor for the receivers that they target, is finding guys who understand and have a comfort level in being able to understand, this is where I'm open in this defense, and sitting down and waiting for him to find them.
I will say, if this closes, the deal gets closed and it's done, it really sets up the portal nicely for the next couple of weeks now, because you've got your quarterback. So now all those receivers that we're going to talk about on our list and other guys who are looking at the program can say, hey, they got one of those guys in the portal that was one of the names that people were talking about, one of the better guys coming out of the Group of Five conference. It's nice to see that, and hopefully that happens. And there was a comment earlier I had up that people were saying it'd be nice. I think Jordan Stewart said it'd be nice to have him announce at the game tonight. That'd be great, but I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe. Who knows? If they come out with it before the game and then he walks out at halftime or something, that could be exciting. But it's great. If this closes, think it will. Expect it to. I think by tomorrow we're going to have our quarterback, and that's going to be done. His visit list technically takes him to Florida State next, but Florida State's hosting Anthony Calandria from UNLV. So I think they probably already got their guy. They're looking elsewhere. It really seems like this is a done deal for Colton Joseph. We talked about Carson Van Wincher. Justin, you did some research on some of the names that are popping up visits-wise. Let's go through that. I want to start with a name right away, because we talked about Iowa State. We talked about Matt Campbell mm-hmm. going away. And there's a running back there, Abu Sama, from Iowa State. He's also a guy, a rumor that's rumored to be visiting. That would be a really nice pickup.
Abu Sama. Our buddy, and I recommend anyone who has a 247 subscription, or even if you don't, go check it out. He's been really all in on this. Nick Osen followed him when he was at Iowa State. He mm-hmm. knows the family. He knows everybody involved with him. I think Sama's a guy who they look at as potentially being their lead back this coming year. I would not be shocked to see that him be kind of more the lightning guy to go. I'll mention the other back that they're potentially in on. It sounds like they feel good about is Brian Jackson from USC. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of stats there. It sounds like he had turf toe this year, so he was dinged up most of the season. That's kind of their power back that it seems like they're looking at. So if that's the case, you got a couple of nice bodies to add to that room that really help out this team and give you something to work with. I think that Sama gives you a guy who potentially can get the running back to a respectable level. He ran really well at Iowa State, sharing the backfield last year. He ran for like 750 yards. So he was a pretty productive back.
Yeah. And I put Zach Bartz also, and I heard this as well. FSU's Cam Davis is a guy that also looks like he maybe we might be in on him as a target.
I believe we bowed out on him.
Oh, did we? Okay. All right. Good to know. Good information here. Sticking on the offensive side of the ball. So Abu Sama and Brian Jackson are the guys we talked about from that. Let's go O-line actually first. Yeah. Eric Mateos, we know he's a new offensive line coach. We know we're getting Kevin Haywood back. We know we're losing Riley Mauman. We know we've lost Jake Renfro. Joe Brenner, I've heard they are still trying to potentially keep Brenner. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but with Eric Mateos comes Arkansas players potentially, and we've got a few of them visiting. Justin, let's talk about the offensive line. What do you like on here?
There's a lot of them. Two really nice young players in Blake Cherry and LJ Prudhomme, who are interior guys. I would guess that Prudhomme's going to be potentially thought of as a future center. I know that he played some of that down at Arkansas. Both of them, I believe, redshirted this year, so they should be. Have 4 years of eligibility left. So there's some young guys added into that room to hopefully get the competitiveness up a little bit. Another guy that is being brought in that potentially would be either, I would guess, a possibility to be somebody who they look at as to challenge for starting would be Amarian Harris at tackle. So that's another guy that they're potentially bringing in. And I think that gives them an opportunity. Well, I was corrected by Doc in here. Cherry played every game, so he's only got 3 years left. But I know Prudhomme only played Prudhomme redshirted this year. As far as Harris, I feel like he's a guy that they're looking to get some of that depth in there and have some challenge to get. It really feels like they're trying to get guys in here to make this as competitive as possible for this offensive line for this season. Another name to look at offensive line, Bo Johnson, tackle from North Dakota State, is in.
That's a guy they feel really good about. He was an FCS All-American as a I believe redshirt sophomore. So you're looking at a group of guys who they feel really strongly about bringing in some challenging there and to up the level of that room. I think we have some guys that we really like in that room that we feel have a chance to definitely take spots. We've talked about Kevin in here plenty of times. Kevin Haywood is somebody who I expect to have a very, very good shot at taking left tackle if it's not something that they expect already. So you have a very competitive room. You have a couple of guys who are either going to be potential swing tackles or guys who can come in and outright play. And you have some depth that on the interior that's being brought in. And I think we need it. Like, that room is right now does not have the bodies that it needs. And that is a huge deal. And yes, Cherry is a guard. Prudhomme would be the one that's a guard / center.
I don't think there's any doubt at who's starting at left tackle. There's no doubt.
I don't think there is either, but Bo Johnson was a left tackle at North Dakota State too. So yeah. I don't know.
Well, we also need a right tackle. So
my guess is you're bringing in guys to push the guys who are either here or that's going to, I feel very much like Mateus is going to be a guy who's going to be let the best man win.
Yeah, we knew, we obviously knew that this was going to be the focal point of the offseason. Obviously, quarterback was a big thing. Looks like we may have solidified that. But we knew what the O-line was last year. With once Haywood went down, it was a disaster. And every week we talked about it. It was horrible. And we needed to rectify it. And we did. We're working on it.
Yeah, as much as we say that we needed a quarterback, the biggest, most important thing in this offseason was getting the offensive line to a point where it was average to above average, because that in itself sets you up where you can be a functional offense. And now if that quarterback has a decent offensive line in front of him, you're giving him something to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's also talk about wide receiver. This is, we have one name that's on this list of potential visitors.
There's another guy that's in that is being kept quiet. And I told Nick that I would not mention him on here, who is a guy who I know look at as a potential starter.
And you are. So first of all, the name on this list you want to talk about was Oklahoma State, Shamar Rigby, right?
Correct. Shamar Rigby. That's been out there on Twitter. He's a guy that I expect to be. I don't know if they necessarily look at him as potential starter. I do think they look at him as quality depth at that position. He's got 2 years left. Okay numbers this last year. I believe he had, I can bring him up real quick, but he had like 250 yards and like 20 catches. So he's a young receiver. It's getting his feet wet, has good size. I believe he's 6'3", 190. So they seem to really be tracking guys who have size in this portal. I do expect if he can take a step, he can be a guy that can get himself in the rotation for a receiver and be a guy that can provide some quality depth in that spot and potentially some production.
We are also on a list for UAB wide receiver Iverson Hooks. That's a name that has been out there as we're a listed school for him.
Out there, he was supposed to be visiting and now he's not. So I don't know what is going on. Like, there's a lack of clarity on that one as to what's going on.
I've heard we're in a decent position for this, but we'll see. I mean, the portal just opened and it's absolutely insane, right? Like, there's so many things going on. We also have to mention that if Colton Joseph becomes the guy, you also have to instantly look at Old Dominion guys, right? Trey Yep. Brown is in the portal. He was their top producer last year. I think he had over 700 yards. There's a couple other guys in the portal.
They have three receivers that were all close to 700 yards.
Right. And so if we can nab, you know, whether it's Rigby or whether it's Hooks or someone, and then you get a guy like you get some of these guys from Old Dominion. We listed four guys that we are in the portal from here. I mean, Eugene Hilton, Tretch Kekahuna, we definitely need to replace guys. Big time.
Right now, in my opinion, five.
Right. Right now, it's like Chris Brooks's room at this point. Like, that's what it is. You have to strengthen here. I was hoping to see more wide receivers on this list of visits right now, and I don't. And that's a little bit unfortunate, but hopefully there's more. I know there's another guy there, but we need to bring more. As you said, five. We're nowhere near that right now. We've got to get heavy in this position.
Much like corners, and we'll dive into, there's only one that's coming in here. He's on campus right now and very well thought of. He's somebody who I hope they lock down is Eric Fletcher from Oklahoma State.
Okay.
He was really good as a redshirt freshman corner this year. that's a guy I want to see get locked down before he leaves campus. Because that, to me, is a guy who you can put out there and start. I think he's good size. I believe he's like 6'1", 190 range. I think that, that's important for Wisconsin to get a guy who's good size that could potentially play the boundary. And I think he provides it. He had some good stats that were out there. Somebody posted was one of the completion percentage or forced completion or something like that. It was a hard stat to read. He was one of the top guys in the country. And if that's the case, you're getting a really solid piece to put into that room. I think you need that. You have to have at least one guy that you feel really confident in with the young guys. There'll be more than that. I think there's going to be multiple guys. You brought up wide receiver. I think corner and wide receiver are going to be the two positions that probably take a little bit, because I think they're the two positions that probably have the most influx of bodies. And you look at it and you're like, well, we need to be able to break down these guys and figure out where the value is, because some of these guys are going to be top tier guys. And there's going to be a whole lot of guys that are, if we get him, he's solid. And you have to start to look at it from a financial standpoint of like, well, this guy wants 350K and this guy is almost identical in terms of talent level. He wants 200. So it's, and does he want to play here? And you know, all the aspects of it. Those are the two hardest positions in my opinion, because that those are constantly the ones that have the most options.
Most options, yes, but like also there's a talent disparity. You need to get the good guys quickly.
You
need to go out there and get them, because cornerback is an extremely valuable position at every level of football, and we've had issues there. So we need to get that done quickly. And I'm happy that Fletcher's on campus. I think that's great. If we land Fletcher, that's fantastic. But you know, I mean, ever since Lucas left, we've had this like situation at cornerback, and I'm worried about corner. I'm always worried about wide receiver. We've talked about that, but like we need to get guys in here quickly. I don't want to be waiting too long on these guys.
Oh, I don't think we'll be waiting too long, but I think they're trying to kind of get their list straightened out, because so many bodies have come in. I think over the last like 2 or 3 days, there's been a huge influx at those two spots. And we just had another one drop today. It was a kid from Ohio State who I've seen people in the Discord talking about as potentially was supposed to be a guy that might start next year at Ohio State. And he jumped in the portal. And it's like, you see some of these guys that jump in there, it's like, they're probably not necessarily getting huge money at Ohio State now, because they might be down the pecking order a little bit. And maybe they're looking at another place where they can go, or they'll get a bump in pay. And to
but
them,
they're often, but they're often still looking at a place that looks like they can win.
Likely.
Like, you know, we're not, it's,
there's a kid named, we've been linked to one of their corners, West. From there, I don't know how much he's played. I didn't dive into him too much, because until I start to hear where some of these guys are actually visiting, I don't really like to dive too far into them. The list that I have for today that we've been going over, these are guys who are visiting.
Yeah. We talked about safety already with Carson Van Dinter. I want to switch to a position that you really want to talk about, because I'm going to let you cook. You, by the way, if you've listened to us for a while, Adam Trick is a name that Justin has been talking about pretty much since Miami of Ohio played Wisconsin.
Since he abused Heinsohn?
And he made Davis Heinsohn look, well, it doesn't matter. And a lot of people could have done that to Davis Heinsohn, but at that position specifically. So Adam Trick, let's talk about edge guys. Talk us through the edges that are here. And also talk to us about Adam Trick. You love this guy. Do you feel like we've got a realistic shot at Adam Trick though, honestly?
Yeah, I do. I think this is one of those where you're going to have to get in the door with him before he goes to Tech. I don't think you want to be competing with them when they start to
kind of... We can't compete with them financially.
That's exactly it. So what you've got to do is you got to win them over on the visit and get first shot at him and hopefully close the door. I think that's a lot of what happens with these transfer portal ones. Sometimes it's just a matter of if you can win the guy over, maybe you gain some bargaining power on that a little bit. It also depends on where he is on the board at Tech. I really like him. To me, he is very similar to Mason Reiger. He plays with a ton of passion and energy, and I think that that's invaluable to that room to an extent that I'm not sure who else I can look at that's in that room that I can say, this guy feels like he's got that. And I think it's super important to have that type of attitude in that room, because it pushes everyone else along to set the standard of what is expected from that spot if you want to be on the field. And I think Trick is a guy you can look at and say, we know what we're going to get from him if we put him out on the field. He's going to bust his butt every down and leave it all on the field. And that's, those young guys are going to have to either do that and beat him, or they're going to have to deal with the fact that they're going to be sitting on the bench.
Yeah. And Trick is a guy that, you know, obviously, like you said, like he's a 1 year guy, right? He's got 1 year of eligibility left, kind of like a Mason Ryder type where we're going to get him. Hopefully he's putting out a motor and he's doing, playing really well, trying to get, you know, recognized by the league. I think there's going to be a lot of competition, and obviously Tech is the school that has paid an insane amount of money for defenders, which, as evidenced by their good defense this year, they're going after him. I don't know if we're going to, if we can compete. Tech is a school that now is going to compete for playoff positions nearly every season in their lighter conference. And also the fact that they've got an insane amount of NIL dollars to play with. So that's difficult, but if we can get him, that's awesome. Well, that's massive. You have Ethan Day on this list as well. He's a North Texas edge.
Yep. Another guy from there with a couple of years left. I look at this as being an option where it's somebody that they feel strongly about on the film. Obviously, North Texas was a really good team this year. I haven't dove too far into him, but he is on campus. So he's clearly somebody that's high on their board. And I think that he's got a good frame to him. He's got size. They really seem to be chasing edges that have some length to them. So I feel pretty good about getting him on campus here as another option. And then the other one that I want to go, I have Josh Burnham on here as a DL. He fits like the big edge to me, like one of those interior three guys.
He's a Notre Dame guy.
Yeah. He was a defensive end at Notre Dame. He would be a massive get for us. Absolutely massive to have somebody like that who can be on the interior, because he would really muck things up. Like that is a, he was, all the stuff I read on him was, this was a massive loss for Notre Dame for him to jump into the portal. And my guess is that he's looking at it as, I'm going to capitalize on my last year. Maybe they don't value me quite as much as some of the other guys. There was talk that he was supposed to be a captain there coming into 26. And that to me is a big deal. When you have guys that they're talking that type of level with, that's a really important piece. We've talked about it, setting the culture and stuff like that here. To me, that's super important that you get guys like that that can come into that room so the young guys can see this is how you lead.
I want to also bring up that the guys we're bringing up on this list today are people that we believe to be visiting, or we've heard, or we know for fact. And when you get the first visit, because this is everyone's first visit, that's a really big deal. Like that means that you're in pole position from a recruiting perspective. Obviously that's why Colton Joseph is here already. And we're probably going to hit that, but like, it's a really good sign. All these names they're not just like pie in the sky names. They're guys that are on campus or visiting. And our first visit is this, were their first visit, which does really matter. So a guy like Burnham from Notre Dame, that's a big get at a visit.
He'd be a starter.
Yeah.
Without a doubt would be one of our best defensive linemen the day he walks in here. So let's be honest, he probably would be the best defensive lineman the day he gets here. So that to me would be huge for us to get that. Another guy on the defensive line, Joe Hajel from Tulsa. There's your interior guy. Mm-hmm. They're looking for somebody. They need a big body on the interior here. That's a guy that you want to get in. I would say you're probably looking at him as kind of being that Peterson role from last year, having a guy that's a big body that can play on the interior, has a little bit of movement to him.
Run stuff.
Yeah. I think they need to get a guy like that in there for sure to get that room shored up a little bit. You have Perkins in there already. You have some other guys that you like, but you need somebody who's got some experience.
Yeah. By the way, thanks for everyone for tuning in. Over 700 of you watching on all platforms. So thank you so much for that. So that's pretty much the list, Justin, as far as the visits. And the one for me, the glaring, it's not a miss because I know that we're going to get other guys, but wide receiver and cornerback have got to be prioritized.
Well, and like I said, they have a guy on campus right now that they look at as a starter. And I think they feel really good about potentially getting that one locked down. I just promised I wouldn't put the name out here. I'd love to talk about it. And hopefully, you know, maybe tomorrow or Monday or sometime, we'll kind of follow up and do a show on who we all locked down.
Well, people have certainly guessed in the chat. So But I mean, and if you read deep into the stuff, you'll see some stuff about it. But either way, like it is something that we need to get done. But of course, the creme de la creme here is Colton Joseph. You got to get Colton Joseph and lock it down. I expect it to happen at any moment, any day at this point. And then things can really begin to move in that right direction. Are you confident in as far as, you know, we brought in Mateos. We haven't even talked about the new running backs coach as well. Like, are you happy with the staff right now? Are you feeling like you're comfortable going into this portal season with where we are from a staff perspective?
To me, feel like looking at what we've seen so far in the portal, the names that we've been associated with, feel like then there's been a step up in the quality of guys that we're bringing in, which I think is important. In terms of the staff, there's not a lot I could say right now. Like, it's improvement mode. I do feel like there's some money we're playing with right now, because the guys that we're getting to come in on visits are clearly guys that are power four guys that have potential for sure. And it doesn't seem like retreads and stuff like that we're bringing in. It seems like guys who legitimately you look at and say, there's a pretty darn good chance this guy's going to be a starter. And that to me is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot to get into about the transfer portal, and it's going to keep happening. We are going to do more shows. So like during the week, we're going to have another one midweek this week, because there's going to be a lot of things that are happening day by day. Obviously, go check out Ryan at Locked On Badgers. He's going to do a lot. If you're not a member of 247, go check out what Nick Ozen's doing on 247, all the behind the paywall, always good stuff. There's a lot going on out there, but I expect that Colton Joseph signs soon. I think that's really that's it. That's the number one name that everyone's looking for. It's a quarterback. And if it happens, I think things can move in the right direction. Mm-hmm. We do have a question about Joseph Giuseppe said tight ends. We are in on a couple guys.
There's a guy on campus right now. I was struggling when I was compiling this list to find all the names, because working across multiple sources, mostly across X, to see who is all listed. And I know we have somebody on campus who they feel good about. So I would guess there's going to be at least one, maybe two, that they bring in the tight end.
Yeah. Tight ends are definitely, yeah, it's, we got to get that. But I think, again, if you get Joseph, you all of a sudden are like, hey, yeah, I want that guy thrown to me. Like, you've got a quarterback now, and you're going to get the tight ends, and you're going to get the receivers, and you're going to get those names. So we got to lock down that position first. Before we go, we've got a game in an hour. We're facing the fifth ranked Boilermakers. Justin, do you have any kind of expectation for this game at all? And we're only 6.5-point dogs. What the hell kind of line is that?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I would say we play them really tough at home, but I want to see growth. I want to see us compete against a high-level team and Purdue's a high-level team. So if they could cover or be in that right around that range, I would probably be happy with that result tonight, because that means that the defense showed up and that we were able to keep ourselves in the game, because we know that this team's got so much to grow, like work to do growing, because like we've seen how they get stagnant on offense and stuff like that, and the shooting isn't there at times, and there's so much that needs to happen for them in order to be able to stay with a team that is very mature in Purdue and very skilled. So they're going to have to bring their A game today.
What I want to see is Zach Kinzinger playing more minutes. Okay. That to me, like, let's make
this a really good feel for the game.
I'm not trying to dog, Jack Janicki here, but he hasn't played that well this year. And I really want to see, Garlock play more minutes. I want to see Kins play more minutes, because we're going to need some interior defense. And I think we're going to need Garlock to play a lot. Raps not there very good defensively. And Trey Kaufman Wren is an absolute monster who somehow is still at Purdue. So yeah, it's going to be difficult. The line kind of says to bet Wisconsin, because it seems like you look at that line, you're like, why would you not bet on Purdue? So, it's a bit of a baiting line. So I like that. I definitely did not bet on Wisconsin, because I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see what happens. It would be really great because, God, you got to remember this, Justin. We need a signature win. We have no quad one wins yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think we do, at least. And I think we're going to need to rack those up. Now, we're going to have a ton of opportunities in the conference, but the conference looks pretty deep. Look at Michigan. Look at Purdue. Even look at Nebraska. They beat Michigan State last night. Look at Michigan State. Look at Illinois. There's a lot of good teams in this conference. We're going to face Purdue, then UCLA, then Michigan. Michigan is, in my opinion, far and away the best team in America. Far and away. They are thumping people. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anyone's going to beat Michigan. So nonetheless, hoping for a really good result tonight. Justin, any last thoughts on the transfer portal, basketball, anything you want to touch on before we close the show today?
I think we're good. Like I said, again, if you're not following on 247, if you want the updates and everything with what's going on, we do have some of the info that's in the Discord, but Nick and them are really on top of everything, and they're the ones talking to the people. So, you know, just to put a little bump in for him, because they've been crushing it so far with the portal being open and who's all visiting. So I'm so glad that we have some people that we know that can give us some good information.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And last thing I want to just say is close the deal, get it done, and make the announcement. Like everyone's going to feel a lot better once Colton Joseph is signed with us, which again, we think it's here. We think it's ready to go. So let's get that done. Thanks for joining us. I'll be back with a Rajiv's Corner audio only episode on Tuesday. Wednesday, we're probably going to be back with our transfer portal tracker. We're going to be talking about this a lot over the next couple of weeks. We've got 2 weeks of transfer portal. We're going to do a lot of shows in the meantime. Thanks for joining us. And as always, on Wisconsin.
On Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Bucky Report or The Bucky Report Podcast from wherever you get your content. Until next time, on Wisconsin.